today on Real Radio.
And we walk in the Spirit. We are walking in the power of God. Listen, are you messed up with drugs? Stop trying to fight it on your own strength. You can't do it.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series on the parables of Jesus. We've been looking at a parable found in Matthew chapter 18. It's most often called the parable of the unmerciful servant. In fact, that's the title of this mini-series, The Parable of the Unmerciful Servant. And if you've been following along, you've undoubtedly picked up on the fact that this section of Scripture is all about forgiveness, especially to a fellow believer. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in this series on the parable of the unmerciful servant.
Jesus says in the parable, there was a king and he had servants. And one servant owed him so much in debt that the king was justifiable in throwing the guy and his family into prison for life to get out of him the payment due. But when the man begged and cried, the king had compassion and acted with compassion and released the man of his debt. All of that requires patience. God is patient with this. Aren't you glad? I'm so glad. God is patient with this. And so tonight, here we go. Are you ready for this? Number four is this, the parable of the unmerciful servant. What do we learn out of it? Verses 32 to 34. We learn this, that we need to be like Jesus and be holy. Will you write that down? Holy? Go ahead and write it down. It's very important. Most people don't understand it. We're going to look at the word holy. When in verse 32 it says, and his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, you evil servant, some of your translations say, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Here it is, verse 33. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? This is interesting. Should you not have? Jesus, listen, is calling the man out. He's saying, you should now know better. You have been brought out of debtor's prison, so to speak, and you have been put in a different place. I just gave you the definition of holy. Did you get it? You have been brought out of one place of great debt and positioned in a spot where you have been released of your debt. And now, having been forgiven by the king, you should now go forth conducting yourself like the king. Why? Because you've experienced the king. You know the king. This pauper in debt appeared before the king and the king forgave him. Wow. He's been separated from the world of debt. Listen, this is important. The word holy, holiness, has been mutilated over the centuries. It's so misunderstood, and frankly, it's been given such a bad rap that most people don't even know what holy or to be holy or what holiness means. For example, there are certain groups of people who believe that they're holy by what they wear. They are holy. Watch this. By what they wear or by what they don't wear. You know what I'm saying? Watch this. For example, if you wear no makeup, I'm not wearing makeup, and so I have my hair pulled back in a bun, and I'm wearing a black, I'm holy. No, you're not. You're not holy. Well, I have a suit that's, I have a special robe I wear, and I'm holy. No, you're not. I have a beanie, I have a ring, I have a thing, I have a sign, I'm holy. No, you're not. The Bible says in Samuel, 1 Samuel, that God does not look upon the outwardness of a person, but he looks on the inwardness of their heart and of their character. So think about this. Well, you know what? We have to be careful what we wear. Okay, yeah, we shouldn't stumble people. But the moment you get into a thing where, watch this, what if we were a church where we were sitting here right now, and this could really happen. So think about your Christianity. I'm holy. Everything around me's got to be holy. And it's so based upon me and my establishment of my holiness that if anything comes near me, it threatens my holiness, and I could become unholy. Did you know that's exactly how the Pharisees thought? Did you know that the Pharisees would pull their robes up close as they walked by sinners so that their shadow, the sinner's shadow, wouldn't touch their shadow? I'm not kidding. They would watch out so they wouldn't be defiled. Jesus said, you are like whitewashed sepulchers. You're beautiful on the outside, but inside your life is full of dead men's bones with evil intent and evil desires. So what if we were sitting here at church and we're worshiping the name of the Lord Jesus, we've got his Bible open, and we're hearing about forgiveness and about the power of God, and a prostitute gets dumped off in the front of the fountain or driveway out here, and she stumbles in half-clothed into the sanctuary looking for a sanctuary, looking for help. There will be those who will run to her, and there will be those who will run away from her. The ones who will run away from her every time will be the most vocal regarding their holiness and their awesome righteousness. This is a human fact. It's a religious scourge. But those who know what it's like to feel outcast, rejected, and wounded and be touched by Jesus will run straight to her. Do you hear me? Those who know that they've been forgiven, they don't have to pull in their robes real tight or wear a special ornament or some sort of knot stuff, whatever, because they have to maintain holiness. We do this because we are holy. You're not holy. The word holy means you have been called out of the world and placed into Christ. Watch this. And the moment that happens, in fact, I'll prove it to you. Watch this. The moment that happens, Jesus turns you around and shoots you right back out into the world you came from. See, why doesn't, when we get converted and come to Christ, why don't we just drop dead right on the spot and go home to be with Jesus? Because you being forgiven is so much more powerful. Your changed life is so resilient, it is so strong, it is so amazing that Jesus pulls you out of a condemned and poisonous world, wraps you up in his righteousness, changes your heart and your mind, and then infuses you right back into that world, the naked, flesh-cutting, demon-possessed man of Gadara, remember, came and went after Jesus and fell down crying, and the demons were speaking out of him, and they said, have you come to torment us before our time? We know who you are, thou Son of God. And Jesus says, what's your name? And they said, Legion, for we are many. Remember that? And Jesus said, get out. And they came out, and they wound up possessing 2,000 pigs. And that man sat there, now clothed in his right mind, and everything about what happens at that moment is right on. That man says, Lord, I will follow you anywhere. Do you have any doubt about that guy following Jesus anywhere? Man, I don't have any doubt. And Jesus knew that, so Jesus says to him, tell you what, go back home. Sounds like a disappointment, right? Go back home. The guy wound up, we understand that he goes back. In the book of Acts, we find out that this guy went, and it's believed in church history, that he goes back to the region of the Decapolis, the 10 cities. And one of them is called Scythopolis. And one of the names of Scythopolis is none other than Beth Shean, the amazing archaeological site that's there today, an amazingly, radically preserved ancient Roman city, the chief seat of the region. Jesus sends him back from the culture he came from. And what happened? The gospel. Jesus said, go back home and tell everybody what great things God has done for you. Church, listen, be very careful. Know your Christianity, understand what God has done for you at the cross and how much you've been forgiven, not to go dabble and go goof off and put your foot back in the sins again. You've been set free. As a Christian, that should no longer have power of your life anymore. And God will lead you into a world of hurt. Because God has fixed us. How does he do that? Because he has declared us holy. Galatians 2:16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Wow. But by faith in Jesus Christ, even when we had believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not of the works of the law, for by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. See, self-appointed holiness is none other than religious terror. And you are your power, and you have got to defend that because your strength is all you have. Not when Jesus converts someone. When someone, no matter what they've ever done in life, gets forgiven by the power of God, the Holy Spirit moves in. Doggone it, I have it in my mind again. I should have brought it. I've been tempted to buy this at Toys R Us, and I haven't done it yet. I need to do it. You know the Iron Man mask? In that movie, the guy, the armor just goes, and he's covered in armor, and his mask, and he's invincible. That's the Christian. That's the Christian. The Holy Spirit empowers you with the very truth of God's word. And it is awesome. And the Bible says that power, the power of the Holy Spirit, clothes us in the righteousness of Christ. He's the one that makes it happen, the Holy Spirit. Christ provides it, and the Holy Spirit appropriates it. That's why the Bible says, walk in the Spirit. When you see Iron Man walking, think of the Christian inside of there. And we walk in the Spirit. We are walking in the power of God. Listen, are you messed up with drugs? Stop trying to fight it on your own strength. You can't do it. Is it temper? Is it your marriage? What is it in your life? You just can't do it. Of course you can't. But the power of God can. And he'll do it. That's why the Bible says here in Galatians 2:16 that by the keeping of the law, no one is justified before God. He's talking about the Ten Commandments and the law of God. Isn't that good? It's not only good, it's perfect. But it's written in stone. You see, you need something in your heart. And from stone to your heart, even if we beat you to death with the Ten Commandments, it's not going to make you any better. It can't save you. Romans chapter 1, verse 7 says, to all who are at Rome, Paul's writing to the Italians, beloved of God, called to be saints. Look at your Bibles carefully. Do you see to be? It's in italicized font. Why? Because it's not in the original language. It's for English. It's for us to understand. The original reads like this. To all who are at Rome, beloved of God, called saints. I like that better. Did you know that? So called, wait, who sainted them? Jesus. On what authority? His Father and the Holy Spirit. God. See, the word saints here is a pretty cool word. Let me tell you what it's not first. The word saint is not this. Hagos means an awful thing, a condemned thing. Hagos. But hagios, an I in the middle of H-A-G-O-S, takes hagos, a condemned, awful thing, an I is placed in the middle, and it is now a righteous, beautiful, redeemed, holy thing. With just one I would like to say the I am in the middle of your life takes you as an awful, condemned thing, and makes you holy. That's what the word means. A saint is one who's been declared holy. So listen, to the saints who are at Rome, to the saints that are at Chino Hills, to the saints that are at L.A., there's even saints in Hollywood. Somewhere there is. There's got to be. Think of it. And it's not based upon, this is where we stumble. It's not based upon our performance. It's, do you believe him? Has your life been changed? Does he consume your existence now? The Bible says that a saint is a sacred thing, physically, morally, spiritually, one that is declared to be blameless or ceremonially holy, that which is unholy being declared holy, a saint. That's what God says. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All means all, ladies and gentlemen. All have sinned. Now, Jack, you got a contradiction here in the Bible. How can people who have, if everyone sinned, how can you have saints? I'll give you one word, Jesus. That's how, and I'm very glad about that. Being justified, verse 24, Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Do you hear that, church? It's all about him. It's all about Jesus. We can never become holy by human means. It's impossible. By human effort, not going to happen. So watch this now. 1 Peter 1:15 tells us this, but as he who called you is holy, God is holy, you know. You also be holy in all of your conduct. Because it is written, be holy for I am holy. What does that mean? Some of you hear it this way. God says to you, I'm holy, and you try the best you can. That's how you feel. Some of you are feeling it's like, well, man, I can't make it. Of course you can't. Nobody could. He's saying this. Because I'm holy, and you're in my son, Christ Jesus now, you're hidden in the robe of Christ. You go out now into the world and you be holy because I'm holy. Can you imagine some race driver going out here to the speedway and he's got his Indy car out here and it looks cool. They're waxing it. They're polishing it. He's got his helmet on. He's sitting there. He's ready to go. Everybody, he's got a pit crew. Everything's ready to go. Only problem is there's no engine in the car. Looking good, no power. You can look good, but unless you have the power of God, it's not going to work. And that power is not our holiness, but God's holiness. We're his kids. We walk in him. And so we have no holiness to emanate of our own. We all understand that if we're honest with ourselves. But the Lord would say this to us. Can you kind of, Jack, just scoot over a little bit? You know, like you're in the picture. Can you just scoot over? Okay, how about more? Can you scoot over some more? Well, how about some more? Okay, that's great. But Lord, I'm out of the picture. That's the whole point, Jack. I want the world to see me, Jesus is saying. And the best way the world can see me is if I fill up the screen, the vista of your life. And the sooner we realize that, the more liberated we become. And you can run to someone who is dropped off at the church doorstep, half naked and abused, and you can run up to her and bring band-aids and bring clothing and bring food because you're looking past all the world of sin. And you've been, well, you know, somebody might think a bad thought. So you let someone bleed out because someone might think a bad thought? No. Let the person be convicted by God who thinks the bad thought. Let people run to her aid. Or for that matter, his aid. It's remarkable. Listen to this. Acts 13:38. This is Paul speaking. By the way, it's one of the longest sermons Paul ever gave, written in Scripture. Acts 13, you can read it later. It's beautiful. It's amazing, actually. He just quotes one Old Testament situation after another. But he comes to Acts 13:38, and he says, therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man, capital M, Jesus, is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is what? Justified from all things. All things. What's your thing? Come and trust Jesus. He died on the cross for your sins. It's hell without him. But he wants you to be with him in heaven. And he says, listen, the law condemns you. But if you trust in what I did on the cross for you, you're justified. You're declared holy. Who says? Jesus said it.
Well, I want to argue about that. Go ahead. I'm not going to argue with him. I'm just going to believe him.
But I'm still reading the verse. Justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses, and all the church said,
amen.
That's radical. This frees us up instantly from this thing of our karma, our good outweighing the bad. When we say and think things like, well, I'm okay. Okay. Listen, the Bible says we are all sinners and some have been justified and some are not. Do you understand that? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Some are justified and some are not. Why? Because some come to Christ and others won't. It's amazing. But the man or woman who puts their trust in Christ receives, listen, church, instant, immediate justification. Did you know that? Well, I don't know. The last church I went to, they're saying I could get it in about 10 years. You know I'm telling you the truth. There are some churches, they twist the Bible and they say, well, you know what? If you sign up and if you tithe a certain amount and if you do a certain amount of things, in 5 years you can get a happy face and you're well on your way to becoming sanctified and justified. Not in the Bible. Did you know the thief on the cross was justified and sanctified in a second? And then think of what he was wearing. He was wearing nothing. Started the day out like a creep, a thief, a bum, a murderer. Listen, this is tough for us theologically, but it is so, so true. You and I are positionally perfect before God. That's what the book of Romans is all about. Did you know that? Positionally before God, perfect. We've been declared saints. Isn't that weird? You know what? So here's the challenge. We're supposed to live like it right now. We need to remember that. Have you noticed that you and I, we have the power. We have power. Every one of us have power to create people. Now, I'm not talking about making babies. I'm talking about destroying babies or encouraging babies. What I mean by that is how we speak to people. We can tell a child, you're stupid. You're nothing but you're nuts. You know what? You're a weirdo. Guess what? That kid's going to grow up to think about him or herself. They'll be exactly that. If we tell somebody, you can do it. You know what? That's fantastic. Come on, let's try again. Persevere. Let me show you how you can do this. I know you. You know what? They will just absolutely get excited about that. And get excited about life. Husbands and wives, you can always tell husbands and wives on how it is. Just look at the husband or the wife.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called The Parable of the Unmerciful Servant. It's a look at Matthew chapter 18, verses 22 through 35. In fact, The Parable of the Unmerciful Servant is a mini-series and part of Pastor Jack's collection of studies on the parables of Jesus, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. You know, the 23rd Psalm is quite likely the most quoted psalm in the Bible, even by non-believers. We might hear it recited at a memorial service or maybe a novel or a movie. Sometimes it's even put to music, and it's typically just the first few verses. Many like to cite the so-called Shepherd's Psalm, yet without understanding what David, the psalmist, actually meant. Well, we'd like to bring your attention to a book that comes highly recommended by Pastor Jack, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 is a classic written by W. Philip Keller. Keller was a shepherd himself, and it was those life experiences that gave him special insight into this familiar passage. Now, don't forget, this is Pastor Jack's pick for our book of the month, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. It's available for purchase at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. realradio.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.